any lager and sour out of it. The fatwa is that cheese which contains rennet, even from a غير مسبوخ animal, from an animal which was not made zaba, contra shared, that cheese will be halal. Why? Yeah, in a case like that, we put our logic, our qiyas aside, and we make amal on what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. Now, this we should not become confused here on this, because many ulama failed to understand this masala, and they are confused, and they confuse the public also. The substance which was used is called infiha. Infiha, what is infiha? The young calf, the calf when it's born, when it drinks its mother's milk, then thereafter they would slaughter the calf. Just an hour or 2 hours thereafter. And then they will extract from the stomach of that calf this infiha. It's like a curdled milk. The enzyme inside curdled that milk. Now they would extract that substance. It's called infiha. And that they would add it to the milk now. And that will become now cheese now. So now the principle usul in fiqh is this, that if any action or anything, it is in conflict with qiyas. Qiyas means logical reason of the shariat, not our logical reason, our principle of qiyas. If it is in conflict with qiyas, but if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had participated in it, then we will put the qiyas aside and we'll give the fatwa of jawaz that this is permissible. But that hukum, that rule will not be extended to something else, because although logically infiha should be haram, so we will not extend it now to something. If you take another substance also from a haram animal and use it, then that also will become halal because of this. That is in conflict with the Shariat now. That hukum will remain only with such cheese in which infiha is used, not such cheese in which another substance is used, which they also call rennet now. In English, infiha is called rennet, but the rennet which they are using now is not the infiha which was used in the cheese in formula. It's something else. This is the enzyme which they extract now from the stomach of the animal. Of the cow, extracted the substance, the enzyme renin, extracted, and they use it in the cheese now. So the cheese, such cheese, is not, they no longer use now infiha in cheese. So any cheese in which renin is used from an animal which has not been slaughtered in accordance with the shariat, that cheese is haram. Niz marbiya hai کہ امام زین العابدین رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ نے اپنے صاحب زادے سے کہا، میرے لیے ایک ایسا کپڑا بناؤ جو میں قضاء حاجت کے وقت پہن لیا کروں. حضرت امام زین العابدین رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ was the great grandson of رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, was the son of حضرت امام حسین رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ. He said to his son, that, prepare for me a set of clothes, kurta, lungi, or trousers, whatever it was, a set, which I will use only when I go to the toilet. When I come out of the toilet, I'll remove it. For my namaz, clothes for my namaz, I'll have another set. Or namaz ke waqt utar do, kyunki main dekhta hoon ki makkiya najasat par baith kar phir mere kapron par aa baithi hai. Because I have observed that the flies sitting on the najasat, on the excreta, after they come and they sit on our clothing. Now, he did not feel that comfortable in such clothing on which such flies sit. Now I must perform salat also with them. That was his wara, his taqwa. Larkin ne kaha ke Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam namaz aur baitul khala ke liye alag kapra الگ کپڑے نہ رکھتے تھے. یہ سن کر امام زین العابدین رضی اللہ تعالیٰ اس فعل کے ارادے سے روکے پاکستان محسن عالی محسن سے پولیس فعال دے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم did not have separate sets of clothing for salat and for the بیت الخلاء for the toilet. When he heard this, immediately he cancelled this order to his son and he abstained from it. Now he understood now right what my son is there is saying. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had only one set of clothing, whether you go to the Bayt al-Khala or whether you perform Salat, so it's the same set. So who am I now to make this distinction? So this is what was the thing, the concern for doing everything in conformity with Sunnah, no diversion from the Sunnah whatsoever. بس اے برادر تو اپنے تمام افعال و اقوال و عقائد میں سنت محمدیہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا اتباع کر. علامہ شاہران سے او مائی برادر ان آل یور ایکشنز اینڈ یور اسٹیٹمنٹس اینڈ یور بلیفس انشیور دیٹ ایوری تھنگ از ان کنفارمٹی ود دی سنت آف رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. دیٹ دی سکسیس از ان دیٹ ناٹ ان اینی تھنگ ایلس نو میٹر ہاؤ beautiful something may appear, how beautiful an act of ibadat may appear in the form of an ibadat, as the people of the bid'ah are doing, say they're maulud, they say this is the way they justify it. You know, they say praising Rasulullah sallam, they're not concerned with whether this act is part of the sunnah or not. So there are many such bid'ahs which have crept amongst ourselves, amongst our people also, our ulama also, and in our groups also, which are completely in conflict with the sunnah. So he said that you must weigh all your, see, ensure that your aqaid, your beliefs, your statements, and your actions are in obedience to the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Aur kisi fail ka irada na kar جب تک کہ تمہیں یہ معلوم نہ ہو جائے کہ یہ کتاب و سنت کے موافق ہے. اینڈ ڈو ناٹ امبارک اپون اینی تھنگ انلیس یو آر کنوینس اینڈ یو آر شیور دیٹ دس ایکٹ از ان کنفارمٹی ود دا کتاب دا قرآن اینڈ سنت. بس اس شخص نے جھوٹ بولا اور بہتان باندھا جو یہ کہتا ہے کہ طریق صوفیہ بدعت ہے. You see, that person is a liar and a slanderer who says that the method of the Sufia, that is commonly referred to as tasawuf or tariqat, it is bidat. People who are spiritually barren and dry in their hearts, there is what they say, it's a tariqat, tasawuf, is something extra which the Sufis have added to the Sharia. In the early stages of Islam, in Musalaf al-Salihin, the different departments of the Sharia of Islam were not separated. Everything was known as the Sharia. Islam was Sharia, everything. The Quran and the Sunnah, everything was the one. It was not for akhlaq was not dealt separately. The faqih himself, he was a great sheikh of the tasawuf also. But although I said in the early era of Islam, it was not known as the tasawuf or as the tariqat, it was just one way, it was just the sharia, everything was the sharia. Akhlaq also was dealt under the same heading, the sharia. As the time went on, the akhlaq, morality, it became separated from fiqh. And fiqh, it is the zahir of the sharia, the outward dimension of the sharia, the legal part of the Sharia, that became known now as fiqh, as fiqh. And the knowledge pertaining now to akhlaq, to moral اخلاق و مورالیتی، اخلاق حمیدہ، اخلاق رزیلہ، ایول کوالٹیز، گڈ کوالٹیز. دس بیکیم ناؤ نون اس تصوف، تصوف اور طریقت، دے ور ناؤ سیپریٹڈ. بٹ جس ایز دا قرآن کمانڈز صلات، اسٹیبلش صلات اینڈ صوم اینڈ زکات ان ایگزیکٹلی دا سیم وے دا قرآن اینڈ دا سنت آدیز کمانڈ اس ٹو کمانڈ اس ٹو پیوریفائی آور سیلف. اٹ کمانڈز اس ٹو اڈاپٹ سبت. اٹ کمانڈز پرفارمنس آف صلات of sa akimu salata waat zakata. In the same way the Quran says that you must adopt sabr, you must abstain from hasad, must abstain from ghibat, from slander. Now all the attributes of morality are mentioned in the Quran. You have to inculcate this and you have to abstain from those qualities. In the same way, as far as the zahiri shariat is concerned, the Quran commands the principles for the ahkam, for fiqh, as well as the principle of tariqah. So Allama Sha'rani Rahmatullah says that the one who says that tariqah, the tasawwuf, is a bid'at, this is what the Salafis, the Salafis propagate, he is a liar and he is a سلاندلم. بھلا وہ شخص جو شریعت کی مخالفت سے اتنا ڈرتا ہو کہ جب تک کسی عمل کا شریعت کے موافق ہونا سمجھ میں آئے اس کے کرنے میں توقف کرتا ہو، اگر وہ بھی بدعتی ہو تو پھر روئے زمین میں کوئی متبع سنت باقی نہیں. اسے ہاؤ از اٹ پاسبل that a person who hesitates to do an action or to even make a statement, why? Waiting first to gain evidence from the Shariat. If he's according to the Shariat, he will do it. If he's in conflict with the Shariat, he will abstain from it. So if this person also was so careful and meticulous in following the Shariat, if he introduces a bidat, and you call him also a bidati, right? This awliya, they call them bidatis, then on the surface of the earth, there won't be anyone then following the sunnah. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah, has said, and all mashayikh have said, that the tasawwuf, it is the Quran and the sunnah. Yeah, for that reason, they say that if you see a person, he flies in the air and he walks on the water like the fish, and he flies, at least he swims in the air, he walks on the water just as the fish swim in water, and he flies in the air like birds. But his amal is in conflict with the Shariat, then never follow him, no matter how pious he may be, how much nafil acts of ibadat he may render. But if he's amal is in conflict with the sunnah, then you stay far from that person. There's either some shaitani influence with which he is working. Now from this differentiation between fiqh and tariqah, which has created in later ages, developed this idea of kabira and saghira sin, big sins and small sins. To such an extent, these are technical terms which the people have now made part of their practical life. If the sin in their mind is saghira, it's a minor sin. So it's not important. No, it's not such a serious matter. They will practice on it, make amal on it, without any fear. If the sin is kabira, okay, if they have got some taqwa, they will abstain from it. But kabira and saghira, there's nothing of this sort in as far as practical life is called on. از عائشہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ کوتی کا حدیث ایاکم و محقرات ذنوب دیٹ بی وے آف ریگارڈنگ سن ٹو بی انسیگنیفیکنٹ ٹو بی مائنر ایوری سن نو میٹر واٹ ٹائپ آف سن اٹ مے بی اٹ از اے سن اگینسٹ ہو اگینسٹ اللہ تعالیٰ Allah Ta'ala has made issued an oath. This is the way you must do and act. It has reached us via Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the Quran said this. وَمَا يَنْتَكُوا عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَا إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ That he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not speak of his desire. He does not speak of his desire. Whatever he says, it is wahi, revelation, which is revealed to him. So in other words, whatever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, instructed us, it is the command of Allah Ta'ala. No matter how insignificant it may appear to us. Saghira, small sin. To abuse a Muslim with your tongue, to swear him, to insult him. That is a minor sin. Is saghira compared to hitting another Muslim. Compared to physical zulm. The verbal zulm is minor in relation to that. Assaulting a Muslim and killing a Muslim. So assaulting a Muslim is a minor saghira in relation to killing a Muslim. So it's a relative issue. But both acts are major sins. As Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the hadith, Sibab al-Muslim fusuq. To abuse, to swear a Muslim, it is fusuq, it is fisk, it is a flagrant violation, evil, immoral. Wa qitalu kufrun. And to assault, to hit a Muslim, that it is kufr. It's just, although that person does not become a kafir by fatwa, if he believes, if he understands that what I'm doing, it is wrong. This zulm which I've committed, it is wrong. And as long as he does not accept the zulm which I've committed, that it is zulm. And for zulm, the punishment for zulm is terrible. The punishment for zulm, one before mort, that punishment, one the calamity will descend upon a person. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what he said. Salatu da'watum mustajabatun. Three du'as are mustajab. Allah Ta'ala readily accepts these three du'as. There's la shak of him. There's no doubt in it. What's the first one? Dawatul Walid. The dua of the father for his children. That dua is Allah Ta'ala readily accepts the dua. The second, Dawatul Musafir. Is the dua of the Musafir? Dua of the Musafir? A genuine Musafir, not a fellow who's going on a tour and committing all the haram. Is that a Musafir, such a person? The dua of Musafir. Allah Ta'ala really accepted. And the third dua, Da'wat al-Mazloom, the dua, the curse of the Mazloom, the one who is oppressed, the one on whom Zulm is committed, his dua is cursed. Even if he doesn't make a verbal dua, bad-dua, but that pain in the heart, that is a bad-dua. About that dua, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Yaftahullahu. And in dua da'wat al-mazloom yarfa wala fawq al-ghamam, and dua of the mazloom Allah Ta'ala elevates it above the clouds. Wa tuftah laha abwab as-samaa, and doors, the gates of the heavens are opened up for him. Wa yaqulu rabb, and Allah Ta'ala says, wa izzati, take an oath by my greatness, by my glory, that I will most certainly come to your aid, even after a while. Time might lapse, but the time will come when I will aid you. Hazrat Salim will never escape. He is the punishment for the zulm which he has done. There's no other way other than to acquire, gain ma'af from the Prophet. If he's a Muslim, if he